Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
560 The Joe wants you to see a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of Dade County Federal Credit Union. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more information on that, go to fincu.com. But if you want a chance to win those Dolphin tickets to a home game coming up, log on right now to WQAM.com. The home of the Miami Dolphins is AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2, The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on radio.com.
Well, we had a doubleheader of Monday Night Football and started at 5 o'clock yesterday. Kansas City Chiefs sent a little message to the Buffalo Bills that we just want to let you know you are a nice little story, but we're coming into Buffalo, and they physically manhandled them in a big way. The final was 26-17, and it really wasn't that close. Kansas City, I think, kind of surprised everybody. We're so used to Mahomes. We like to call him weatherproof because it doesn't matter what the weather's like with that arm, that he can throw it. But they ran the ball 46 times for 245 yards. They average over 5 yards a carry, obviously. And end up time of possession, 38 minutes to 22 minutes. Yards, 466 to 206. It was a big-time NFL butt-kicking. Chiefs just wanted the Titans and everybody else to know that they're alive and well. And of course, the Steelers and the Ravens wanted them to know as well that they still got a hell of a team.
But how about Kansas City running the ball for 245 and they're next week away from having another running back join that stable in Le'Veon Bell? Like they just showed to the world we could run the ball, not just throw the ball and win games with Pat Mahomes' arm and all the weapons we have. Oh, but we could run it down your throats also. Oh, and we have another guy coming next week.
Yeah, I listen to those guys. They're telling their rookie last night, like, look, man, this is nothing personal. We like you, but we want to make sure that we don't beat you up. And, by the way, he was running his ass off last night.
26 carries last night, by the way, for $161, 6.2 average. That is a hell of a night for a running back.
Well, listen, he can do that because they know they got somebody coming that is going to take some of the load away from him. And then last night I'm watching again going, okay, this ought to be. I'm really curious to see the Cowboys who have been really bad and the Cardinals. And the Cardinals run the friggin' ball 35 times for 261. Like what's the chance that you're going to watch two Monday Night Football games and they both go old school on you running the football? I just look, Arizona, 35 carries, 261.
Right.
The Chiefs, 46 for 245. Arizona averaged 7.5 yards a carry.
Jeez.
I mean, that's big-time college football playing against a small school type of stuff where everybody comes out in the second half of the game. Just incredible. And, of course, Kenyon Drake led the way, 20 carries for 164, including a 60-yard run.
Right.
So there you have it. Cowboys, by the way, turned the ball over 4 times. They looked awful. So anyway, home cooking last night was terrible.
I mean, think about the NFC East right now, Joe. They're 2-4 and they're leading the NFC East.
Washington, how about the NFC
Giants
East
and the Eagles, right?
5-18.
Ridiculous.
The NFC East is 5-18. By the way, if you have one win, you're only one game
right.
out.
The Giants are one game out after what they've went through. The Washington football team, excuse me, is one game out also. The Eagles are one game out. Not only are they 5-18, they're 5-18-1. The Eagles have that one tie. This is the worst division in football by far. Not even close.
Well, listen, that all switches from year to year. I think a lot of people thought the AFC East was going to be really weak this year.
And, Joe, 6-10 or 7-9 might win that division and get you a home playoff game.
Oh, yeah. Listen, you
like
might.
Like 6-10. Like the Cowboys can finish 6-10 and host a playoff game.
So they beat each other up, and the Cowboys just, they, first of all, their offensive line, like a lot of offensive lines, man. The offensive lines around the NFL have just been getting the crap knocked out of them. So the Cowboys got all these weapons. Although they did drop some footballs last night. I saw a drop touchdown right in the guy's hand in the end zone. But the quarterback play, I tell you, that's why having two quarterbacks is, I know that you got to give the starter usually a lot of money when they're really good. But, man, losing Dak Prescott and now going huge to that guy is just a big, big difference, whatever you think of Dak Prescott. I know people are all over the place on him. But
well, I don't care what you think about Dak Prescott. Andy Dalton is their starting quarterback now for the rest of the season. Like they're 2-4 after last night with Andy Dalton as the guy for the next 10 games for this team. There's no one that can be happy about that if you're a Cowboys fan.
Well, they got to have a running game, and they just can't have him just drop back. And even with all those weapons, and the Cowboys got a lot of weapons, and
so not ideal to have Andy Dalton throw 54 passes in a game and only Zeke Elliott run the ball 12 times.
Well, he fumbled and he got taken out of the game because I don't know.
Two fumbles. He fumbled and lost twice. Yeah.
But they lost by 28 points last night at home. The Cowboys. You ever think the Cowboys would lose to the Cardinals by 4 touchdowns?
No. No.
At home. And that's exactly what happened last night as Kyler Murray did not throw the ball that well. But I'll tell you what, man, that having a quarterback, the one thing, having a quarterback can take off when everything's broken down, nobody's around, your protection's not that good, and having a guy that can just take off even when you've got a guy that's kind of keeping an eye on him, and he just outruns the guy, some linebacker, some athletic linebacker, and Kyler Murray just takes off to the outside on a 3rd and 10 and picks up 15 yards. And you're like, wow. I'd love to see Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray in a foot race. That would be interesting one,
right?
Because those guys, I don't know. I think they both refused to run the 40, if I'm not mistaken. They said, watch my tapes. I think they both did that. Like, I'm not running a 40 for you. Watch my tapes. And for good reason. Like, you see them in the football field and you're like, oh, that's right. They're freakish good. But having a quarterback that can run, even Mahomes, like, can take off. And he doesn't run nearly like the other two guys. But the fact that he can run, and, I mean, they had some 2nd and 20s after a penalty. And all of a sudden they got 3rd and 5. And because he gets it where it's a 3rd and manageable situation again. Such a big help. By the way, our guy – is not the most athletic guy, but he's a really good runner. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a really, really good runner, and he doesn't slide much. He not much for sliding. He likes to go head first. I know part of it is I just think, first of all, he just loves to compete, and he's a tough guy. But I also think he knows, gets his team fired up, man. When those guys see him going for it, trying to get a first down, seeing those offensive line pick him up and hug him, I mean – you know, it's just...
I like when he gets up after a big hit and his helmet is like sideways and he has to fix his helmet right in front of the defender like nothing just happened. Well, like, I know you hit me hard and knocked my helmet, you know, 70% this way. It doesn't matter to me. I'm up. Let's go.
So against the Jets, he takes off and he realizes he's in trouble and he's going down. And he gets a crap knocked at him by a second guy. And it's a penalty. I mean, it was a late hit. The guy didn't need to come in and smash him. But for a second, I saw and I went, oh, man. Now, if he staggers at all, it's done. I mean, right. He's going to have to come out. He knows that, by the way, too. So he gets up, helmets off the side. I mean, he just got the crap knocked out of him. And I can't tell you how many times since Ryan Fitzpatrick's taken off, where I'll look at the guys and go, oh, that's it. I mean, he just got wasted. And he gets right back up. Kind of laughs, pats the other guy.
Right.
The guys pick him up, goes back to the huddle. And you're like, I never seen him. He's 37 years old. Like, he didn't get hurt.
Uh-uh.
And if he is hurt, he refuses to let anybody know because he knows if he gets up and he's shaking his head like he doesn't know where he is or if he looks like he's had a few drinks, he's done. They're going to take his ass out of the game now that the league's watching under this concussion protocol thing they have. He's really a good runner, man. Hey, by that leads us. I haven't even asked you guys. So we got our bye week. Fins pull up at Joe Rowe Show. Our MVP through six games here, a 3-3 record the Dolphins have. We have four people: Ogba, Xavier Howard, one guy with five sacks. Of course, X-Man's got four interceptions. We got Myles Gaskin in there, who's been really good at running back with what he's been able to do. And we have the guy we were just talking about, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Who are you guys going with on our poll? You guys, what do you think?
I'm going with Fitz. I voted for Fitz.
All right, Ryan, Woody, Ryan, who are you going with?
I mean, not to take what Zach's doing, but yeah, Joe, I think Fitz, just because the leadership aspect, I mean, he just seems
to be the most important.
He's the most important player on that team. So isn't that where, like, MVP kind of goes to that, right? Wouldn't you say?
Well, if you took
Fitz off the Dolphins and you looked at the rest of the team, like,
yeah,
not to say Tua's not going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback down the road here, but.
But if I was to ask you who's the best player at their position, I'm going to go with Xavier.
Oh, yeah. That's a different story.
Well,
yeah.
I'm going MVP through six, so it means different things to different people.
Right.
You guys, by the way, make great points. But if I was to ask you right now who's the best player, And part of it, you got to look at the best player on the team at their position. And X-Man's leading the league in interceptions with four. And he's getting paid. People are throwing at him, which is incredible. Because he's in a situation, you know, he's got the four interceptions. You know how close he's been to like seven or eight interceptions? Like, they've been throwing at him, and he dropped a couple. They weren't easy catches.
Right.
How about the one he has down the middle of the field against Buffalo? They throw one late in the game, and he's covering. The ball's deep, and he goes back in, and usually he catches that one. So somebody just brought to my attention, like, he's had his hands on four or five that he's intercepted before. So he's been really good. So, hey, let us know on our bi-week Fins poll, our MVP through six, at Joe Rowe Show. Love to know who you're thinking. Guys, you bring up a great point, though, about Ryan Fitzpatrick and all the things he does that doesn't have stats is big on this football team. The one guy keeps everybody together, makes everybody's having fun, playing hard together. And, man, he's got to be a head coach's dream come true, especially – if you see him when he comes over the side, the amount of time he spends with his backup quarterback.
Right.
Nobody in football does that. There ain't no Aaron Rodgers coming off going, hey, young guy, come here. I want to talk to you. What'd you see? He ain't doing that. Like, he wants to be left alone. Ben Roethlisberger ain't coming to talk to Mason Rudolph about, hey, he's going, I know, a couple years ago, you didn't want me on the friggin' team. You were mad they didn't take somebody to help you, give you another weapon to throw to. So, I mean, it's just, it's a good one. And if at the end of the day, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is the bye week MVP from the fans, I get it. I totally get it. Hey, we got to go to break here, but when we come back, you're ready for a little Kyle Kraft. We haven't talked to him for a while. Talked to him, covers the Dolphins like nobody's business. We'll get an update with him, talk about some of our young guys, get to all the stuff, get his thoughts on the team going forward with the Dolphins now one game out in the AFC East. Actually, ahead of the Patriots. Anybody think that was going to happen the way it started in that first game? Crazy. Anyway, we got to go to break. We'll talk some serious Dolphins football with Kyle Krabs when we come back. Right now, I want to tell you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Yeah, have you refinanced yet? Have you called Michael Kotze? Because that's the only way. That's the only place you need. First of all, why are you going to banks? They take forever to get you approved. You got to go down there. They work limited hours. It's just frustrating when you can't get a hold of people, and it takes so long. Like, what takes so long? Here's my credit score. Here's what I want to do. Please let me know. I want to get in on these great rates right now that are out there. Listen, as you probably know, fixed rate mortgages are in the twos, and a lot of people are jumping on it by refinancing and saving hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month on their mortgage right now. We want you to do it. No prepayment penalty. Michael Kotze is going to get you the lowest rates, the service. The time to get you approved is a lot faster because he busts his butt to get it done for you. He also wants to talk to all the people out there going, hey, money's cheap. If you want to buy something, you're like, well, I've been renting and I'd like to buy, but I'm always worried. Money is cheap right now, especially with Michael Kotze. Now's a great time to buy. Hey, if your credit score is taking a hit over the last 4 to 6 months, don't worry about it. Let Michael Kotze worry about it. He'll get you approved. If you have any question about a mortgage, your credit score, how much you can save every month by refinancing, there's one guy to go to that's going to give you 7 days a week service working for you. You can call or text the guy. He's been in business since 1994, a triple-A rating with a Better Business Bureau, equal housing lender, NMLS 166254. That's all the official stuff. Here's his number. I want you to call or text him with anything you have. Hey, Joe said you can help me out. 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730. If you don't want to call or text him or you didn't write that down, just remember Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage.
All right, Joe, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to our buddy Kyle Krabs on Twitter at Grinding the Tape. He's the Grindfather, Director of Scouting for the Draft Network, lead editor of the Dolphins Wire, and host on Locked on Fins podcast and Draft Dudes podcast as well. Kyle, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, guys. We're coming into the bye week with a little bit of momentum, so plenty to be excited about. Excited to talk with you guys this morning.
Yeah, we're great. It's great. We appreciate you coming on because we're really looking forward to it. By the way, Kyle, we've got a poll up today. We want to get your take. MVP through six games. Who would be your most valuable player through the first six?
Oh, geez. Probably Devontae Parker. He kind of the most consistent threat in the passing game, and you saw what his absence did to the Dolphins' passing game in week one when he missed the second half against New England.
That's pretty nice good answer there. That was, by the way, not one of the four options we gave.
Yeah,
Kyle,
that wasn't one of our four, but that's a good one. And I've been saying when he's out there, even if he's 50 or 60%, he helps everybody else. I totally agree. Takes the pressure off everybody else. They don't have to do more than they're capable of doing. So I agree that that's a nice choice. Not on our final four. I went with the X-Man for – the way he's played with four interceptions and four games. These two went with Ryan Fitzpatrick for what he's done with this whole football team.
Yeah, I think if you look at the team culture and the energy that's around the team, Fitz is a no-brainer from that perspective. And, Joe, I like the pick of Xavien Howard as well because, you know, ever since we got Byron Jones back into the secondary, and you've kind of seen all the pieces snap back into place where this team originally intended them to be playing. Throughout the course of the summer when they constructed this rebuilt roster, really excited about what that's looked like. Obviously, the Dolphins have allowed less than 150 net yards passing in two consecutive games with this secondary fully healthy. And Xavien Howard, four interceptions in his last four games. So it's another strong pull.
Well, Kyle, let's stick with the defense for a second. Ogbo, Wilkins, even Zach Sealer, the front guys, the whatever the rotation may be on the defensive line, seems to be playing a lot better the last couple of weeks also, right?
Yeah. I was interested to see how the team was going to ultimately choose to handle the injury of Devon Godshall, and hopefully we see him again by the end of the year. But, you know, we're kind of on the fringe there. Zach Sealer's been such a breath of fresh air to really watch him grow into a role that's commanding of so many snaps up front. Guy they plucked off the waiver wire from Baltimore last year, and he's really a reliable piece. And him and Wilkins finally got some penetration. I know that's the big thing with Dolphins fans and expectations. A guy that got taken in the top 20 is the splash plays, and we saw some of that against New York for Wilkins. But I thought he's been really, really sturdy. And you mentioned Emmanuel Ogba as well, who's been perhaps Miami's best value free agent signing to this point. With just how much pressure he's been able to turn up on opposing quarterbacks in the past four games.
Kyle, I want to ask you about Tua coming in the last 2 minutes. I'm just curious what your thoughts were and what's been the reaction.
Yeah, obviously everybody was really excited to see him, and it was good to see him get a couple reps. I think the most exciting thing for me about his appearance was that they didn't just trot him out there to hand the ball off three times, right? They're trying to ice the game. It's a milk the clock situation, but they didn't get super conservative, or they didn't turtle in that scenario. They let him throw the ball twice, including once was a rollout in his own end zone. How's that for a first career pass attempt? You know, you're in the end zone, you got a defender bearing down on you. And I thought he did a really nice job on both of his throws to throw with accuracy, and looked quick and mobile. And so everything that we hoped he would be when he was healthy, I thought we got a chance to solve. But for me, it was the mentality of what the Dolphins coaches were willing to give him in that opportunity shut out on the line down here inside your own 10-yard line.
How much, Kyle? I just wanted to jump in here and just say, Kyle, Joe was obviously calling the game on the radio when Tua went in there. I can imagine you were on social media. How about the social media kind of push when Tua gets in the game, or he's on the sideline throwing the ball, the craziness that happens with Dolphin fans and just NFL fans in general about Tua? I was just trying to explain it to Joe and how nuts it gets on social media. But what you saw, I'm sure you were on it also, when Tua was warming up and then when Tua got in the game.
Yeah, it was kind of like this big buildup of first his helmet's on, and then he starts throwing a couple passes, and the tweets start flying, and everybody's like, oh my goodness, it's finally going to happen. They're actually going to put him in. And then lo and behold, you know, there were only like 10,000 people there in Hard Rock, but you could hear it on TV. They were excited, and so many people on social were excited as well.
All right, let's talk about those young guys. Have you seen enough to be sold that Austin Jackson, Solomon Kinley, and Robert Hunt could be the future? And by the way, I expect all three going to be starting here probably in the next few weeks.
Yeah, man, it is really, really, you have to be thrilled to have seen what all three of these guys have put on tape. And don't blame the Dolphins early on. I think we talked about it the last time we all talked together. The apprehension to start three rookies on the offensive line, which is why Jesse Davis was taking that right tackle spot to start the season. But Austin Jackson, none of the moments have looked too big for him. He's a little up and down in the run game still, but because he's such a good athlete, he hits his landmarks. He's long. He's athletic enough to mirror guys on the outside and the edge. And with this quick passing game that Miami has, it's really been friendly to avoid giving up a lot of pressures. And Solomon Kinley's been arguably the best of the bunch as far as the power that he has at the point of attack and the double teams and the movement. And Robert Hunt has been really fun to watch over the last 2 weeks. They kind of weaned him in with some short yardage, extra tackle as a tight end reps. But yeah, Joe, I think you can't, based off anything that we've seen, once Austin Jackson is available, you can't pull Robert Hunt back off the field now. Everybody's got their feet wet. Everybody's shown that they're capable. And I think for Miami, second half of the year, as they continue to roll forward once Austin's healthy, you got to get these three guys on and let them grow and let them develop chemistry. And that's going to be really exciting based on what we've seen through the first six games.
Kyle, how surprised are you that it's Myles Gaskin as the lead back and not Breida or even Jordan Howard at that point? I mean, I'm guessing before the season, I don't think anyone really thought that Myles Gaskin would be in there as much as he is, but he ends up now being kind of the bell cow for this team, the guy who's in there the most. Is that the most surprising thing about the offense this year so far?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Obviously, they paid the money for Jordan Howard, and Jordan, I'll say this about the Dolphins' offensive line. They're really good at – I really like what I've seen in pass pro. But when you study them in the run game, both them and the tight ends, sustaining blocks for extended amounts of time is not where they're strong right now. They get initial good pop. I think they do a really nice job initially at first contact, but sustaining long enough for backs to get through holes on longer developing runs is not where they're strong. You know, they need to get a little better with the hand usage. So a guy like Jordan Howard, who doesn't have a lot of burst and a lot of twitch, he's not going to do really well behind this offensive line, as evidenced by healthy scratch the last two games and less than 1 yard per carry on the season. So Gaskin, I think, allows them, between the pistol formation and the gun runs that they utilize, it's a little bit of he puts everything on the table, so you're not tipping your hand as far as what you want to do with your personnel. I do think there is a little bit more room for Matt Breida, because one of the big limitations that we see with the Dolphins is yards after the catch. Well, Miles Gaskin catching out of the backfield is naturally going to have more space to work. He's first on the team in yards after catch, and Matt Breida has been targeted 8 times this season, and he's third on the team in yards after catch. So those two guys, they're going to give you a little bit more of the after-the-catch dynamic and explosive plays. Obviously, Breida being as explosive as he is, I think there's maybe a little bit more room to kind of put a little bit more on his plate there. But Gaskin, for me, because he's so versatile, I think that was based on what Miami's offense currently can and can't do. He's the logical choice because he doesn't tip your hand.
All right, Kyle, you ready to put your draft hat on for just a second here? I know it's early in the season. I don't usually do this, but all right, Dolphins, as you know, have 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks, and Texans right now are really trying to help us by the way they're playing. So I want to ask you this, just from what you've seen, give me your 2 biggest needs if you were to draft right now to improve this team. What would you do with your 2 first-round picks?
I'm definitely using one on Alabama wide receiver Jalen Waddle. He's a 4.2, 4.3 kind of guy, and he was kind of the afterthought there this past year in 2019 because he was the quote-unquote fourth option. Well, Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs are top 15 picks, and they're now out of the picture, and all of a sudden Waddle is as explosive can be, and he would add so much to this offense as far as creating chunk plays that talking point we just touched on.
Yeah.
The other one I'd probably use on a 3-down Mike linebacker. If Penn State's Micah Parsons would be available on the board. I know that's from a positional value that might be a little questionable. So if you wanted to go with a more high-value position, I'd also look to stay local. And Gregory Rousseau, the defensive end out of Miami, is I think, a future stud in the making.
You read our mind, Kyle. You read our mind with that one. What about a running back in those first 4 picks? You see a running back in there also?
Yeah, I think, you know, Najee Harris from Alabama kind of gives you some of the versatility we were talking about with Miles Gaskin, but he's a much bigger, more powerful back. He's really good as a pass catcher, too. He was throwing, like, back shoulder throws to him on wheels and stuff last year. It's crazy what he can do in the passing game. I do think Travis Etienne from Clemson. You think about when Chan Gailey was in Buffalo, they spent a first-round pick on a running back out of Clemson to try and get C.J. Spiller, to try and get some explosiveness on the offense. And that obviously was not a pick that materialized. I wouldn't scout the helmet and write off Travis Etienne, but that would be another back. If he's there early in the second round, if this Houston pick ends up being in the top 5 picks, and you're talking top 35, top 38 pick, you know, if Etienne's there, I think he'd be a great fit as well.
Man, we agree with you on that.
Right.
We got to see that up close. Miami Hurricanes got to see that up close just a couple of weeks ago. Kyle, man, it's been great stuff. We really, really appreciate it. Good stuff, and appreciate you spending some time with us, man. Thank you.
Hey, great talking ball with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Kyle Krabs. He's the lead editor of the Dolphins Wire and the director of scouting for the Draft Network. Follow him on Twitter at @grindingthetape.
All right, hey, we got to go to break here before we get to Hollywood's headlines. Got a lot more stuff coming up. Brian Baldinger is going to join us from NFL Network. We'll talk to him a little bit and break down the offensive line and stuff that he's really liked with this Miami Dolphin team. But right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. You know, I talk about them a lot, and I just want to let you know that if your lease is up or you're over your miles or ready to get a fresh look or something's got more space or just whatever it is at this point, it's a great time. It really is, especially at your South Florida Chevy dealers, because we got great deals going on. Chevy Open Road Sale event continues, and man, 2020s and 2021s are on fire, man. Talk about just getting it figured out from top to bottom. I start with a Chevy Tahoe because I have one, and I've had one now for a long, long time. I just love driving them. They're so roomy, so much fun to drive. They really are. And then I go right over to the Silverado truck family, and I always tell everybody with those Silverado trucks, they have so many different styles to absolutely fit your needs for work, for family, combo trucks. They got them all. They make so many different style of durable trucks. I just know you're going to love them. So stop by your South Florida Chevy dealer. See them firsthand. Also want to tell you about some of our hotties. If that Tahoe is a little too big and you're looking for something a little smaller, but you still need that space, I got it for you. Your 2020 Traverse makes every drive. Midsize SUV, spacious enough to accommodate the big family and doesn't compromise any of the style. So you get all that space, and it's not a box. It looks fantastic. It's got a great look. And just not that, but the Equinox SUV, our smaller SUV, over to the 2020 Chevy Blazer, which is just a midsize SUV, and it is beautiful. What a great-looking Blazer, man. Hey, don't listen to me. Go find out for yourself. We got dealerships all over Dade and Broward and even Monroe County. We want to let you know you're going to get a great deal. You're going to love the way you're treated. And the most important thing, the products have never been better than they are right now at your South Florida Chevy dealers.
And now it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood, what do you got for us today there, my man?
All right, well, you guys were just talking about Clemson, so I figured I'd throw this one right on top here. Did you see who they're playing this Saturday?
No, who are they playing?
They're playing Syracuse, and if you've been following the ACC this season, you know Syracuse is not very good. Syracuse, they were home underdogs against Liberty this past weekend. Boy. Well, Vegas was onto something because they lost 38-21.
Ooh.
Yeah, they lost at home by that score. So any idea, guys, what the spread would be? They are going to Clemson.
100.
I'm going to say 56.
56. Wow, Joe. Remember, they won, 73-7 over Georgia Tech. Right, now, interestingly enough, guys, Syracuse has beaten Georgia Tech. It's their only win of the season. Wow. But the spread on this game opened up 45.5 for a conference game, guys.
Sounds like Trevor Lawrence going to play into the second quarter.
Right,
no, he's got to play. He's got to play at least a half.
Well, let me ask you, what would you take in this one? Would you take Clemson?
I would.
It's a big number, but
I know. Yeah, but I would take Clemson.
By the way, the over/under also opened up at 61.5. So they're basically they're projecting like 57-0 here, right, or like something like that.
Something like 60-10, right? Like, yeah, I like Clemson in the over. To be honest with you, if I had to bet on this game.
You like another 73-7 type game?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
That's really embarrassing, by the way.
Yeah.
They were good a couple years ago. Syracuse.
They were. They had a 10-win season a few years ago. Yeah.
They were like the second or third best team in ACC. What happened? Everybody's talking about the guy had it turned around.
They didn't turn it around, Joe. The Cuse wasn't back.
They went back to basketball again. Right. Damn it.
Man, that's a huge spread.
Huge spread. I'd be nervous betting on that game, but I would bet that way.
Talk about the disrespect, man. They treat you like a 1AA heading in there.
Yeah. Right. You go to kick off and you're down 45-0, man.
Yeah. Right.
I skip on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, guys. Jimmy Butler posting a picture to Instagram yesterday. Did you guys see this picture by any chance? He's out on a yacht. And he was wearing a D-Wade jersey. This yacht happens to have a basketball hoop attached to it. So, of course, he was getting up some shots out there on the open seas.
Jimmy Butler, no matter where he is.
I love Jimmy Butler.
He's working out. The culture continues for Jimmy Butler.
A nice boat he was on, by the way.
You know why he's on that boat?
Because he's got a heavy contract, right? Yep.
All right.
Nice rich contract.
I always love when you bring up, like, yeah, man, LeBron James on this got this nice pad. Really? Are you shocked? He makes $100 million a year, Hollywood. Jimmy Butler's making some big money. His commercials will pay for that.
Right.
By the way, for all of our LeBron fans out there, we saw the news about the possible plots to Space Jam yesterday. We're trying to confirm which one's real. There are a lot of plots that were leaked yesterday for Space Jam.
Okay.
It's important. Great. It's an important story. I mean,
all right. All right. Space Jam, Ed.
Joe's got no interest in Space Jam.
I know. That's why, yeah. We'll get there when we get there, Joe. No rush. That movie's not till next year. All right. This was over the weekend, though, guys. Did you see? So Philly finally able to get fans back in the stands. The rules were you had to keep your mask on. You had to stay in your pods, which, Joe, I believe they have that for the Dolphins, right? They have those, like, pods that they have the fans in, kind of. Like, those groups of either two or five, right, all over the place.
Yes.
So anyway, so that was the rules at the Eagles game. Stay in the pods, wear the mask, social distance at all times. That did not stop the fans from getting into a massive fist fight in the upper deck. The video, yeah, the video popped out online. TMZ had it, of course, and there was so the fist fight, I mean, one guy goes just kind of like tiptoeing down the stairs. You know, he's making his way down slowly, and then he engages the other guy. Another fan just comes running out of nowhere from the stairs. And jumps in, too. It's like these Eagles fans stick together.
Right.
And they just start pounding the crap out of a Baltimore fan. A couple people run over and break it up, and everyone just gets back to, like, doing what they were doing.
Right.
Just so, another Eagles game.
I will never, ever understand, no matter how much you've had to drink, why do you go to a game, pay all that money for that ticket, to get kicked out of the game?
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Correct.
Don't understand it. I believe they have a jail downstairs. They actually have a jail cell downstairs to hold people that till the police can take them. Can you imagine getting arrested and going downstairs? Yeah. Right next to the locker rooms, there's this jail for drunks, all beaten up, bloody mess.
You get home. How was the game? Well, I got in a fist fight and I got coronavirus.
Right.
That was
right.
Yeah. Some guy bled on
me. Cost me $1,500. I'm sorry I was late. It cost me $1,500 to get out of jail.
Smart. Yeah.
People in Philly seem pleasant. All right, let's go to hockey for this next one here, guys. And Mike Doc Emrick, I know you guys know him, the voice of the NHL, is retiring. He is actually right around Joe's age at 74, and he's been working games for nearly 50 years here, so he's going to call it a quits. I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of his. I don't know what you guys think of him. I think he does a fantastic job.
First of all, that's a hell of a run, man.
Yeah.
So, 74 years old, he looks great. Go enjoy whatever it is. Whatever you're going to do the rest of the time, man. Grandkids, whatever you're going to do. Everybody says that grandkid stuff.
Yeah.
But I can tell that's going to get old after a while, too, right? Just doing the grandkid thing. And
I'm sure. I can imagine.
Yeah.
How much babysitting can you do?
That's a great question. And how many days in a row can you do it?
Right.
Because you're kind of setting your own way, and that's why you like to visit and leave when you're ready.
Right.
Yeah. leave it at that.
All right, guys. Here's a cautionary tale for any of our Zoomers out there. Did you guys see the name Tubin trending on Twitter yesterday?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I was referring to Jeffrey Tubin of the New Yorker, who jumped on quite the large Zoom call yesterday. It was between members of the New Yorker and WNYC Radio. Now, this was a call that had to do with they were doing an election simulation. They had all these people on it, producers and executives and different stuff. And our old friend Tubin thought the camera was off, thought he was muted. And he decided he would just go to town on himself.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Don't finish that sentence, sir. Yes.
Wow.
Make sure your camera's off before you do some stupid bleep like that.
Both people who spoke on the condition of anonymity, that's a tough word, in order to speak freely noted that it was unclear how much each person saw, but both said they saw Tubin bleeping bleep.
That's a good one.
He was
people
bleeping.
Going bleeping bleep.
The two sources described a juncture in the election simulation where there was a strategy session and the Democrats and Republicans went into their respective breakout rooms for about 10 minutes. At this point, they said it seemed like Tubin was on a second video call.
Oh, man.
Tubin lowered the camera. The people on the call said they could see Tubin touching.
Come on.
Tubin then left the call. Moments later, he called back in, seemingly unaware of what his colleagues had been able to see, and the simulation continued. He has been suspended while they investigate the matter.
Oh, really?
He made a statement, by the way, guys. He said, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife.
Yeah.
Family, friends, and coworkers. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I had muted the Zoom video.
I want a divorce now. I want a divorce right now.
That's creepy, man. He's old, too. He's like Joe's age.
Jeez. Is he 72 as well or 74?
77.
Yeah, he looks about your age, yeah.
Damn. All right, Woody. Are you done?
Yeah. Yeah, we can be. No, it's just, it's a, listen, that's a cautionary tale in case you're on a Zoom call with like a bunch of executives from your company or anything like that, and you can't, you just can't wait. I mean, just,
yeah, but you just
gotta
wait. Like, yeah.
Wait it
like,
out, man. Wait it out.
Ugh, God.
Also, rookie move, by the way. You got to separate work computer from personal computer. Rookie move by this guy.
Probably, right. Yep.
A lot of people doing a lot of dumbass stuff right now.
There's not a lot of people doing that.
We got some stupid people.
That's the first. I mean, that's why that guy was trending on Twitter. It's the first time I think we've had that happen.
We've had a lot of people think their mics were off and say stupid stuff when they were still on. We've seen a lot of broadcasters in sports lose jobs, good jobs, really good jobs.
Well, we saw the guy from the Hornets.
Yeah, but
that one sucked. That was rough for him.
The Reds, the Hornets, the Kings.
But this guy was playing with his juncture. That's the problem.
No, this one's just, come on.
He needed a breather, man. Like maybe it was a Republican-Democrat thing, and they were probably fighting, and he's like, all right, I'm really stressed from this. And
so that's what
you're doing? Yeah, he's just like, I can't take the stress anymore from the election. I just gotta do it.
All right, do it. We're going to go to break here. We got 8 o'clock.
Rookie mistake, though. Very rookie mistake.
Right.
Brian Baldinger's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour.
Keep that story in the front of your mind, though, Joe.
All right, Wood. God, you
can't stop thinking about it. Right?
Woody, I know you get on Zoom on rare occasion, so I'm very concerned for you.
I already stopped thinking about it. Trust me. You think about it. You got enough time for both of us. You think about it. I'm done. I swear. I am completely done. Matter of fact, I'm thinking more about tennis and trying to stay healthy. And if I do get injured, it sure is nice to know that I got Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, ranked one of the top 50 best orthopedic hospitals in the nation by U.S. News and World Report. People ask me all the time. By the way, it's also known as Doctor's Hospital in Coral Gables. I always tell people, and they come up, they want to go to the best doctors, and hey, my son had a sports injury. Here's what happened. Where do you think? Where do all the professional teams go? And I go, well, let's just do this. Enter Miami. The Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins all have one thing in common. They use Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables because of the top doctors they put together that are unbelievable. Successful surgeries, proper rehab, and get you back out playing the sports you love the most. Take care of high school, college, and professional athletes every day. And I just want to let you know, you can get in to see those same doctors that are working on athletes every day. So any kind of injury you or somebody you know or a family member has had, they've seen it, they fixed it, they've got them back out. One goal, get you back out playing the sports that you love the most. And I will tell you, you don't have to go out of town. This is the top sports medicine program from top to bottom for every part of the body, hip and knee replacement, shoulder, any other part, ankle, foot, hand. They got great doctors for you, man, for every part of the body. Some of the top doctors in the country. All you have to do if you want to see those same doctors is visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today, set up in Broward County. Dr. Swartzen's up there right now drinking coffee, ready to go. They're getting a big, beautiful facility, Hard Rock. Oh, my gosh, man. It's just getting bigger and better at Doctor's Hospital in Coral Gables.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.